John 6 and 37 is our text. This was a favorite of Dr. Cook's. When we were in the college, it was one that he often would ask the students to preach upon, to prepare a message upon. John 6 and 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." It's especially the latter part of the verse, "him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." In this Reformation month, we're thinking of some Reformation themes, Reformation characters, those that were successors of the Reformation too. We thought last week of Oliver Cromwell, and tonight we want to think a little about John Bunyan. John Bunyan's one of the characters from church history that's very well known. He was a Puritan of that Puritan period. He was both a preacher and a writer. In fact, he was a great preacher of the Word of God. John Owen was the great theologian of the Puritan time. And John Owen said that he would give all his knowledge, give all his learning, to be able to preach the Word of God as John Bunyan could. John Bunyan in total wrote 68 books. He's known as the Immortal Dreamer. The most famous of the 68 books that he wrote is Pilgrim's Progress. It's a book that was greatly loved by men like C.H. Spurgeon. In fact, Mr. Spurgeon read Pilgrim's Progress at least once and sometimes twice every year. Next to the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress is deemed to be the best known Christian book in all the world. Can I say to you, if you've never read it yourself, I encourage you to take the time to do that. Perhaps that's something you could set yourself to do through this coming winter time. Remember that John Bunyan suffered for the faith of the gospel. He suffered in the reign of the wicked Charles II. Whenever Cromwell was taking his great stand, that was against Charles I. It was Cromwell that was responsible for Charles I being executed. He led the parliamentary party at that particular time. When Cromwell was the protector after he died, his son Richard was the protector for 9 months. And then after that, Charles II, Charles I's son, regained the throne. The sad thing is, it's true of both Charleses. They were no friend of the gospel. John Bunyan was a tinker. That's how he was described. In other words, he was a man that was, his trade was mending pans and kettles. But God had called them. There's not a doubt about that. God had called them to preach the gospel. And he was sentenced to imprisonment unless he would give this promise. They said if he would promise not ever to preach the word of God again, they wouldn't send him to prison. But of course he refused to give that undertaking. They asked him, "Do you not love your wife and your children?" He said, "I love them very dearly, but in comparison to Christ, I don't love them at all." His greatest love in all this world was for a Savior. And as a result of that, brethren and sisters, John Bunyan spent 12 years, just take that in, he spent 12 years in Bedford Prison. During that time, he made leather shoelaces, just to raise a little bit of money to help support his family. And this is what he said. He said he would remain in prison until the moss grew on his eyelids rather than fail to do what God had called him to and God had commanded him to do. So what resolve? To stand firm and true and faithful for the cause of Christ. John Bunyan died at a relatively young age. He was just 60 years of age. He died in 1688. That was the year that King William landed from Europe at Torbay. William landed on the 5th of November, but John Bunyan died on the 31st of August. He had been down to Reading He went down to Reading to help with a family quarrel. He was riding back from Reading again, and he got caught in a storm. And as a result of that, he took a fever, and then he died just 10 days later, on the very last day of August that year. John Bunyan is buried in London. He's buried in the famous Bun Hill Fields. If you're ever in London, I commend to you a visit of Bun Hill Fields. John Bunyan's tomb is one of the most prominent. Bun Hill Fields is the graveyard of all the famous nonconformists in London of a bygone day. And as I say, his tomb is one of the most prominent. There's actually a sculpture of John Bunyan on the top of it, as if he was just lying asleep on his back. But let me tell you especially tonight how he came to faith in Jesus Christ. I can't give you all of the details. That would take too long this evening. He tells the whole story in himself in one of his books. It's the book Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. You've maybe heard of that book, didn't know what the contents of it were. Well, in that book, he gives his own personal testimony. And that's exactly how he felt about himself, men and women. He felt that he was the chief of sinners. At one time in his life, he was a great blasphemer. He was a man that was known for using foul language, even language where he was taking the Lord's name in vain. On one occasion, this is what he said himself, giving his testimony. He said he was cursing and swearing and playing a madman. And he was rebuked by a woman of the street. She was so disgusted. Now, by a woman of the street, he meant a prostitute. She was so disgusted by the way he was talking and the language that he was using that she rebuked him. And she said he was the worst swearer she had ever heard, enough even to corrupt the whole parish. Well, even a vile sinner, as John Bunyan was at that time, was astonished by what she said to him. He was astonished that such a woman of such low character, would give him such a rebuke. And the result of it was he stopped swearing. There was that outward reformation of his life that took place. But he said, and I think it's a lovely phrase that he used, he said that mercy preserved him alive. Judgment was mixed with mercy. On at least three occasions in his life, he should have died but for the hand of God and preservation upon him. And the thing that made it so sobering was that every one of these occasions was prior to his conversion. When he thought about it afterwards, he realized if he had died at that time or at any of those times, he would have gone out into a lost eternity. The first occasion, he said, he had a wild contempt for danger, and he took an adder, took a snake, and he banged it on the head, and he pulled out its fangs, and he lived to tell the tale, lived to tell the story. The second occasion, when mercy preserved him alive, was he was on a boat out on the River Ouse. The River Ouse runs through Bedford. The river was overflowing its banks at the time, and he fell out into the river and was carried away in the strong current. But by the mercy of God, he was able to get to the bank and be saved. The third occasion, when the Lord's preserving hand was upon him, he was in the army, fought for Cromwell's parliamentary party during the days of the Civil War, still unconverted. One day, he changed places with another soldier, and that man on duty, doing sentry duty, and he was shot by a musket, shot in the head by the musket of one of the enemy. He said that that third occasion especially made a very deep impression upon him. In fact, such an impression it made that he seldom, if ever, spoke about it or made mention of it. So he realized mercy, God's mercy preserved him alive. Perhaps there's someone in the meeting tonight, the same for you. God in his mercy had his preserving hand upon you. You know that to be the fact. If he hadn't have had, you might have been in hell. You might have been in a lost eternity already. John Bunyan says, there was a great struggle that went on in his soul. He thought he had committed the unpardonable sin. Thought there was no salvation for him. He thought he was an Esau. Remember what the Bible says about Esau? Esau had been rejected. Esau found no place for repentance. And John Bunyan was totally miserable. He thought there was absolutely no hope for him as far as God's salvation was concerned. And then one day, in the providence of God, he overheard some women in Bedford, some old women. And you know what they were talking about? They weren't talking all the gossip of the day, ridiculing their friends and ridiculing their neighbors. He heard these old women standing in the street speaking together, and they were talking about the things of God. What a witness it was. And especially they were talking about being born again, the need to be born again, the great change that the new birth would make in your life, in a person's life. So John Bunyan made a point of speaking to those elderly ladies. And what they did was they attended a church in the town where John Gifford, the famous John Gifford, was the pastor. And they told their pastor about the conversation that they'd had with this man down in the town. Told him all about John Bunyan. And he invited Bunyan to come to his house. And it was while he was there, he heard Gifford speak to others about the things of God. And it was a great help to him at that particular time. He says, and let me just say before I move on, let me just say to all tonight, if there's anybody and you ever want to speak about the things of God, if you ever want to talk about the gospel, talk about your soul, the needs of your soul, we'll only ever be too happy to do that. If you need help with spiritual things, need a little bit of light, a little bit of guidance to help bring you to Christ, make that known. Speak to us about that. But one day, John Bunyan, in the midst of all the turmoil that was going on in his heart and his mind and his life, he read this text of Scripture. Can I emphasize to you the importance, men and women, in your spiritual pilgrimage, if you're searching for spiritual truth, spiritual reality, how vital it is to read the Word of God, to sit under the ministry of the Word of God. John Bunyan read this text, John 6 and 37. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And what a blessing, what a help, what instruction, what comfort John Bunyan got from this little statement in the Word of God. He said he had a great battle with the devil over this text of Scripture. Because the devil said to John Bunyan, that doesn't mean you. You're not included. You're excluded from that statement. It means people not as bad, not as wicked as you are. So it was a great struggle that was going on in his soul. But he looked at the verse. He read it over and over. Looked at it carefully. And as he was reading the verse, he saw that it said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And he asked himself, what him is that referring to? And he realized that it was any him in all the world. He saw it. God gave him light. God opened his eyes that day. He saw it, that there was mercy, that there was salvation, even for him, even for John Bunyan, the blasphemer. If he came to Christ, he could have that mercy and he could have that forgiveness. And so he did. He came, as the text said, him that cometh He came to Christ and he was saved. He was gloriously saved. In fact, as you know from even what details you know about his life, he became a great trophy of grace. So I want to say to you tonight, men and women, what a comfort there is in this text. What an encouragement there is to every sinner, regardless of your condition, regardless of the background you've had, the life that you have lived. There is in this text a great encouragement to your soul tonight. Who can come? Who can come to Christ? Who can experience his salvation? Who can be saved and gloriously saved as John Bunyan was? Him that cometh unto me. Any him or any her for that matter in all the world that cometh. Despite what your past has been like, despite the crimes and the sins that you're guilty of, if you'll only come to Jesus Christ, you can be sure of this fact. The door's open. The door of salvation is open. And he will take you in. You think of John Newton. John Newton, you could compare their lives, John Bunyan and John Newton, in various ways. John Newton, too, was a blasphemer. What a tongue he had. On one occasion, on a ship at sea, in the midst of a fierce storm, he blasphemed the name of God so much that even those rough and hardened sailors thought they would never see the shore again. He was a vile man. He knew that. Think of the words of his hymn, that saved a wretch. That's just how he viewed himself. A wretch like me. And John Newton came to Jesus Christ and was saved. Even such a sinner as he was. You think of Manasseh, the Old Testament king, king of Judah. Manasseh is sometimes described as the Old Testament prodigal. In the Old Testament, if you read the account that is given, it says that for his sin, for Manasseh's sin, and for the blood that he shed, the innocent blood in Jerusalem, it was as a result of his life that the kingdom of Judah was taken out of the city of Jerusalem and out of the land, taken captive into Babylon. The Old Testament makes some very striking statements about Manasseh. He provoked the Lord to anger. Isn't that a fearful thing for a king, that he provoked the Lord himself to anger? Very interesting statement made about Manasseh. It says, for the innocent blood that he shed, for the sin that he committed in doing that, it was a sin which the Lord would not pardon. There's an Old Testament unpardonable sin. Very interesting. I reckon that's nationally in the context of the nation. Did you know that Isaiah, the prophet, was sawn in two? The book of Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks of those who were sawn asunder, and it's reckoned that's a reference from secular history. It can be found that that is a reference to Isaiah, the prophet. He was put inside a hollow tree trunk, and they sawed him in half. That's how he met his death. That's how he was martyred for his faithful ministry and stand for the Lord. And I tell you that for this reason. It is believed that Manasseh was actually responsible for the death of Isaiah in that fashion. So he was a vile. He was a wicked man. His hands dripped with blood, with innocent blood. But even Manasseh came and was saved. If you read the account, and it's really only if you read the complimentary account in the book of Chronicles, if you read what is said of him in 2 Kings, you'd think he died without Christ. But read what the book of Chronicles says about Manasseh, and it says that he prayed unto the Lord, and he was entreated. The Lord heard his supplication. So even the wicked Manasseh came, and the Lord took him in. So men and women, see the great truth tonight. In John Bunyan's text, him that cometh unto me, any person that cometh, he'll not cast you out. He'll not turn you away. If you come, then he will save you. He will save your soul. I'll say this just in conclusion. This text, John 6:37, it teaches us this great gospel truth, men and women, that the door of mercy, the door of God's mercy and salvation, is open wide. It's open fully. It's open wide and fully in this meeting tonight. And it's open wide and fully for this reason, to admit all sinners. And I want to plead with you this Sabbath evening to come. Come to that door. Come to Christ. Enter in through it. Enter into the joy of sins forgiven. Enter in tonight to the fullness of God's salvation. So John Bunyan's text, the text that brought him into the light of the gospel, brought him into the joy of sins forgiven. Him that cometh unto me, the Savior says, I will in no wise cast out. Can I ask you, will this be your text too? In years to come, will you look back upon this text as the verse of Scripture that brought you to Christ, brought you into the faith of the gospel? I pray that it is. I pray it will be so. And I pray the Lord will bless and write this text upon every heart in the meeting tonight. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation, or just a